happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. Long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Brown, welcoming you to the WGTD Radio Theater. This is show number 111, and this is our 13th season, with our 14th season ready to roll out in January of 2018. This morning's hour-long program is coming to you live from Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin. And we're featuring the incredible singing voice of John Ludi Paleo. And John will be performing many of the great songs from the collection of the late Andy Williams. And this is the Andy Williams Holiday Extravaganza 2017.
Thank you.
that's some great live music from Bill's Little Big Band, and that's led by Bill McGee, ladies and gentlemen. On today's show, we'll also have our long-running feature written by Stan Freberg, A Christmas Dragnet, and also we'll be visiting the wonderful Midwestern town of Wistful Vista and the home of Fibber McGee and Molly. Also joining Fibber and Molly will be Maddie the Border Collie, that little girl Teeny, Mrs. Uppington, Harlow Wilcox, and Doc Gamble. We will also have a delightful reading of the famous poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," read by Siegfried Christoph. This poem was written by Clement Clark Moore. Scholars have debated the identity of this author, calling on textual and handwriting analysis as well as other historical sources. But you know what? Most scholars today do believe that Professor Moore wrote the poem, which was originally called A Visit from St. Nicholas. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, where it's not just about results, but it's about you, the client. On the web at addmlaw.com, and also the not-for-profit Brown Ulster Performing Arts Foundation, located in the village of Salem Lakes, Wisconsin. On the web at brownulsterfoundation.org, and by Lake Lawn Resort, the ultimate destination for year-round leisure getaways, family retreats, weddings, and group meetings. On the web at lakelawnresort.com. This is Steve Brown. I'm leaving you right now as I turn you over to our host for the show, Tristan Eves, for today's show.
It's the Andy Williams Holiday Extravaganza. And no, we are not in Branson, Missouri, where this show usually takes place. And I'll tell you more a bit later about the fabulous 2017 holiday show down in Branson, but for now, we are here at Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin, with another great show. And now, here's our star, Mr. Moon River himself, Mr. Andy Williams.
Good morning. It's another wonderful day here in Wisconsin, and I'm so lucky to be here with all of you. And you know what? Before we launch into our Christmas Dragnet feature and venture down to Wistful Vista to see what's happening with Fibber McGee and Molly, I think it's time for me to sing for you again.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining, of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pine, till he appears and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices, oh, now. When Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night divine. For when Christ was born, oh, night.
Thank you so much. You know, after all these years of performing on television down in Branson, in Las Vegas, and now here at Lake Lawn Resort, I know that none of this would be possible without having a great bunch of musicians working with me. And today we have a group just like that. Bill's Little Big Band with its extraordinary director, Bill McGee. So before we take a trip out to Los Angeles via Stan Freberg's great satire called A Christmas Dragnet, let's give a listen to Bill's Little Big Band. Bill McGee and his Little Big Band. I need to take all of you down to Branson with me. You are fantastic. Stan Freberg, who passed away in April of 2015, said this at the age of 72. When asked if he intended to retire, he said, "No, I intend to speed up so I don't get run over by a bread truck." That's pretty darn good advice. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, here is Stan Freberg's great parody of the Jack Webb hit TV series Dragnet. It's called A Christmas Dragnet.
My name is Wednesday, Joe Wednesday. My partner is Frank Jones. The chief's name is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve. They brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch out of Homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I come down. You too, Frank?
Always do. I got up early just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out on when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you going to do tomorrow, Joe? What you going to do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Well, why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're going to have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings, turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts, all the trimmings, you know, cranberry sauce. Love to have you. The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Notice what, Frank?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Uh-huh, scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Mrs. always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions.
Uh-huh, let's not go through that again.
Go through what, Joe?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh, you noticed that too, aren't you?
Homicide, Wednesday. Uh-huh. 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 Uh-huh.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter?
Bringing in a guy in a 409-6325-096704. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We questioned the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus. Guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, that right?
Yeah!
Says here you didn't believe in Santa Claus. Hard to believe you said that. Did you really say it?
Sure, I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshots.
Any fingerprints?
Uh-uh, no latent prints. I just know, that's all. Like saying there's no Easter Bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
What's your story, mister?
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago in a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah, and I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do ya?
Nothing! And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm gonna get up and walk right out of this room, because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Huh. Pretty funny. The police department's got nothing better to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny tree.
I took Grudge over to the helicopter. Got in. Flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurting in and out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people, but I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. How are those stockings hung, Grudge?
By the chimney with care, but I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums, but you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job? Get to the North Pole. I set the plane down. We walked over to Santa's workshop. Rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short of help this year, so we had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Uh-huh, that figures.
What a waste of time!
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, my boss? He's out. You would have to come on the one night he's out on the whole year.
What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job, feed them.
Yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish, olives, pickles, and them little carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Uh-huh.
Well, also scallions.
Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us at the workshop.
My boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Do you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Uh-huh.
Man, look at all that stuff!
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man. Been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Uh-huh, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance that guy can still...
get the presents? Oh, sure, he gets them all. The minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it! I don't want to hear it.
Come on, Mr. Brownie, what's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The brownie saw us to the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus.
Yes, sir?
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then, I believe in Santa Claus. And Columbus.
How about Cincinnati? And Cleveland? And the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still haven't made up my mind about Toledo.
Look, Grudge. Up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy now who can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah. He must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
We have performed the Christmas Dragnet feature at least 5 times over the last 13 years. And you want to know something? It never gets old. It only gets better. Before we present a really great version of Fibber McGee and Molly, here once again is our star, the incomparable Andy Williams.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's time to sing another song, and I think it's one you've heard me sing before.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. This child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now, here's Harlow Wincox.
There are certain people who simply won't admit that nature does anything right. They are the kind who gild cattails, write "Whose Little Tootsie Are You?" with big pieces of chalk on the sidewalk, and clip poodle dogs who look like anemic lions. Here's one of those people now, as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Fred, how about you charge me to paint this Christmas tree white?
What do you want it white for, McGee?
What do you mean, why do I want it white? You got 100 trees in this lot you painted white.
Yeah, and I think they're terrible. But some people like them that way.
Never mind the artistic comment, Fred. How much?
$10.
$10? To spray a little white paint on this half-pint tree? Who do you think you are, Rembrandt? Look, maybe you don't understand. I want this tree painted white, not gold-plated.
$10.
You're a pirate, and I'll bet you've made $200 already today.
You're a cheapskate, and I've made $340.
You're a robber, and you want to sell half interest in this lot?
You're a stoop, and I wouldn't sell my own mother a half interest.
You're a low-down dirty... The dirty swindler. $10 to spray a little tree like that white? The rat. Cheating people right and left. Making $400 a day. The chiseler. I don't know whether to report him to the OPA or make him a better offer for the half interest. The low-down...
What's the matter, McGee, this time?
Oh, that guy, Fred Corrigan, that runs the Christmas lot down at 14th and Oak. The dirty pine broker. He wanted to charge me $10 to paint our Christmas tree white.
That does seem a little high, dearie. But think of the work there is to it, putting all those needles back on after the paint dries.
Hey, don't take the needles off. They just spray the tree. Wish, wish, wish. That's all there is to it.
Well, if wishing would make it so, why don't you do it yourself?
If it's a $10 job, I can't afford to pay myself that much. Besides, I haven't got a paint spray. Hey, haven't we got a paint spray attachment on the vacuum cleaner? My gosh, I could have that tree painted white before you could say, doesn't that look awful?
Oh, now, McGee, please. I realize we need the house painted, but not on the inside. Let's leave the tree green.
Oh, you'll love a white one, Snooky. It's the modern thing. Nobody uses green trees anymore. They're outmoded.
You don't say. Well, tell me, Salvador, what color snow are people using this year? Chartreuse?
No kidding, Molly. White Christmas trees are all the rage.
They must be. They throw me into a rage. Look, sweetheart, just put the tree up and trim it. I love a green Christmas tree. Oh, don't you, Alice?
Mrs. McGee.
Look, Molly, I'll put it to Alice, fair and square, and let her give an opinion. Here's a preposition, kid. If you're going to have a Christmas tree, would you rather have a dusty, drab, dirty old green one, or a bright, snappy, glistening white one?
Huh? Well...
Oh, which one, Alice?
Mistletoe.
Mistletoe? What an answer.
Oh, jeepers, don't you like to hang a little bouquet of mistletoe, Mr. McGee?
He's too shy, Alice.
He is?
I am not shy. Well, what good is mistletoe? Catch somebody under it, and it's either somebody you can kiss anyway, like your wife, or you get a slap on the chops before you can point up to it. Mistletoe. Bah, that's just poison ivy with berries.
We'll put some up, Alice, and you'll see who manages to spend most of his time loitering around beneath it. But honestly, dear, do you like a white Christmas tree?
Oh, I like them all, Mrs. McGee. I don't care if they're purple. Gertrude always has a white one, though, and she likes them.
Who's Gertrude? Do we know her?
She's the boy who always rides past here in the cream-colored Cadillac and honks his horn sister.
I see. Himself here used to go with the man who owned a Stutz Bearcat's niece.
Yeah, but I gave her up for an old guy with a broken-down Maxwell's daughter. But honestly now, Alice, don't you really prefer a white Christmas tree?
I got awfully tired of them, Mr. McGee. When I was a little girl, my father gave us kids some little tiny paintbrushes and told us to paint a Christmas tree white.
Heavenly days. It must have taken you children a long time to paint a tree with little brushes. How long did it take you?
Oh, we never did get it finished. But it kept us off the streets till we were 18 years old. Well, I gotta wrap some presents. See you later.
A bright kid. How all that lovely golden hair can grow out of that solid bone, I'll never know.
She's awfully sweet, though, McGee. There isn't a mean thought in Alice's head.
No, nor any other kind. Well, this ain't getting my tree sprayed.
Where did you leave the tree, dearie?
It's out in front. I can attach a vacuum cleaner cord to the porch light. Is Maddie the border collie home?
I think Abigail Uppington said later today.
Is that right, Maddie?
Well, come in. Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Molly. Hello, Maddie. And how are you today, Pantry Punch?
Yeah. Fine, Jumbo. You out spending a little church here telling your patients you're going to retire?
Oh, he's not going to retire for years yet, are you, Doctor?
Well, my dear, I will retire on that day, that far distant day, when I can write a personal check for $400 and not have the hired help at the Fourth National Bank burst into hysterical laughter.
Oh, go on, you old miser. You got that much buried under a loose brick in the fireplace right now. Trouble with you is you got more affection for a dollar than my wife has for a pound of butter. And that's the love match of the year, Fatso. Isn't that right, Maddie?
You have no right to say that, McGee. Dr. Gamble does more private charity work than anybody in town.
Certainly. I'm a very noble character. When I walk down the street, flowers spring into bloom. Birds burst into song, and taxicabs honk twice before they try to kill me. Well, I've got to run along now. This is my busy season, you know.
I suppose the children keep you pretty busy around Christmas time, Doctor.
No, it's the so-called grown-ups, my dear. This is the silly season when 200-pound men start climbing 49-cent stepladders to wire dime store angels to the top of $3 Christmas trees and wind up in a $500 plaster cast. Pennywise and compound fracture foolish.
Don't you want to stick around and watch me trim our Christmas tree, Doc?
No.
I'm painting it white.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Skipwit. When I put my gift for you under it, it'll turn white. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we let Fibber and Molly take Maddie, the border collie, outside to play at the Wistful Vista Dog Park, what two things are you most anxious to have in your home? Aren't they beauty and cleanliness? Think for a moment how easily and inexpensively you can have both beauty and cleanliness. Just with an occasional application of genuine Johnson's Wax to your floors, furniture, and woodwork. A rich, mellow, polished wax surface is a thing of beauty in itself. This is where Fibber and Molly usually make fun of me when I do a commercial for Johnson's Wax, you know. That family company from Racine, Wisconsin. Now, I could say things like, Johnson's Wax brings out the grain and beauty of the wood. It adds a soft luster to the leather, linoleum, and metal surfaces. And, of course, this wax film protects these surfaces against wear, dirt, and moisture. And I could add that Johnson's Wax is of the very finest quality and long-wearing. But I won't say any of that, because S.C. Johnson, a family company from Racine, Wisconsin, is not an official sponsor of our show today. But sometimes I just can't help myself, and I have to talk about their wonderful products. Now that Maddie, along with the McGees, are back from the Wistful Vista Dog Park, we should get back to our story, especially since Miss Abigail Upperton is walking up the sidewalk to the McGees' front door.
Oh, dear.
What is it, Molly?
Be on your best behavior, McGee. It's Mrs. Uppington, and she's here to take little Maddie home.
Hi there, Uppy. Why don't you come into the house and have a slug of tea? Maddie is here, and she's been keeping all of us marching to the beat of her drums.
Oh, no thank you, Mr. McGee. I've been busy all day, and I've been very lonely because little Maddie has been here. Thank you so much, Mrs. McGee, for taking care of her.
Maddie's a really sweet dog, Abigail. A border collie through and through.
Oh, I do hope that McGee hasn't spoiled my Maddie too much.
Uppy, the only thing around here that's spoiling is the milk I left out to put in my coffee this morning.
Again, Mrs. McGee, thank you for taking care of Maddie.
It was our pleasure, Abigail.
Say goodbye, Maddie.
folks. What's going on here?
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hiya, Junior. Pull up a front step and give yourself a three-point landing.
And if you want your Christmas tree painted white, Mr. Wilcox, trot on home and get it.
Yeah, but I won't be out here for very long, Junie. As soon as I adjust this nozzle on this paint spray, I'll...
Mac! Do you mean to stand there like a front man for a painter's colic and tell me you're actually going to ruin that pretty little tree with white paint? Ruining that refugee from the forest primeval? Despoiling a magnificent evergreen that...
Ah, skip the dramatics, Junior. We know you memorized everything about saving our trees in high school.
And you played the heavy in the Chautauqua Company of Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, too. Didn't you, Mr. Wilcox?
The juvenile lead, if you please. I also had 3 seasons of Shakespeare.
A likely story. When you play Shakespeare's son, that's when Othello needs a friend.
Everyone in Madison said I was another Barrymore. When I came out in my white tights and said, "Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I?"
Yeah, you can say that again.
Well, gents, I'm going into the kitchen to make some hot cocoa so you two boys can continue your conversation about Barrymore.
I best be going, McGee. I have to record some new commercials for the Andy Williams Extravaganza Show of 2017.
Is that the show from Branson, Missouri?
Sure is. It runs through December 16th, and is starring the Osmonds and the Lennon Sisters.
Okay, Coxie. Ready for this? So, just how would I get tickets if I really wanted to drive down to Branson?
Glad you asked, McGee. All you need to do is either call 1-800-MOON-094 or go to their website, which is andywilliamspac.com.
Always plugging away, Coxie. You are the best at doing that.
Thanks, McGee. And before little Teeny rings that doorbell, I think it's time for John Ludi Paleo, Andy Williams, to sing another song.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you hear what I hear? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you hear what I hear? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold." Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. A child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light."
ladies and gentlemen, another great song performed by John Ludipaleo, singing one of Andy Williams' wonderful hits, Do You Hear What I Hear? Oh, and Fibber, when you're done painting that tree in the front yard, make sure you leave enough paint for the one on the porch.
Oh, what? Oh, if I ain't the dumbest guy that ever lived. A wise guy, a know-it-all. Can't tell one tree from another. I'm a saphead. I'm brainless, incompetent, ham-handed butterfingers. And if it wasn't so stupid, I'd never let me sit here and insult myself, either.
Oh, hi, mister. Gee, what's the matter, Mr. McGee?
Hey, I know that voice. Is that you, Tina?
Sure is, I betcha. What you sitting there with your head in your hands for, mister? Got a headache? Want me to get you an aspirin? Want me to, huh?
No thanks, sis. Medicine won't touch this kind of headache I got. I just busted my ego in four places.
Gee, I'm sorry, mister, but... Oh, boy, who did that?
Who did what?
Who painted that tree white? Gee, is that ever beautiful?
Yeah, you see, I got a little confused.
You're the nicest man in town, I betcha. You put your Christmas tree right out in the front yard where everybody can share it with you, didn't you?
Well, I didn't exactly...
Gee, all the kids in the neighborhood are gonna love you for this, mister. Boy, I can hardly wait till you get it all lighted up.
You can't, eh?
Hmm?
I says you can't, eh?
Can't what?
Can't wait till I get all the lights on it.
Gee, neither can I. And you know what, mister?
What?
When it's growing in the ground like that, it can't wobble and fall over either. Our Christmas tree at home is always wobbly.
Lots of people make that mistake, sis. They don't stop to think that if they were a tree and got all lit up and then came home into a warm room, they'd wobble a little too.
Oh. Huh?
Oh, skip it, sis. So you think it looks all right out here in the front yard, eh?
Oh, boy, I'll say. Now all the little children that haven't got Christmas trees can come and see yours, can't they?
Yes, I kind of planned to get a lot of little bags of candy and stuff and let the kids help themselves Christmas Eve. Sis, I just planned that. Think they'd like that?
Gee, will they ever. And us kids will sing.
Sing what?
You know, the song we sing for you every Christmas time. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Would you like to hear it now, mister? Would you,
No, I think I'll pass on that one, because we have someone who's going to be reading the original poem.
Okay, mister. I got to go now. Bye, mister.
It's always great when we can all just sit back and enjoy another installment from Fibber McGee and Molly. And now, as we get towards the end of our holiday show for 2017, what better way to start thinking even more seriously about the upcoming holiday season than to hear the famous poem written by Clement Clark Moore, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, read by our very own Siegfried Christoph.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh, and eight tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment